Good morning, Western New York. Once again, this is Dr. Bob Yeddo of the Cosmetic Dental Center here on another beautiful Sunday morning. We did it last week, too. And once again, my co-host, Dick Bowerly.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Sabres won, just like we wanted. And perhaps today's the day the Bills get off the schneid and win at home. Win it all.
That's right. And unfortunately, they probably will win today, and it's the one game that we will not be able to see on TV. So we'll have to kind of watch. Well, let's see if this would be on, I don't know if it would be a Fox broadcast or CBS. We'll have to watch whatever we can to catch the highlights in real time.
That's correct. Being an NFC opponent, it might be on the CBS affiliate as opposed to the Fox, but we won't get any anyway.
No, and the bad news is if my Fios, are they sponsors? Oh, probably not. But anyways, I did check my guide before I left the house, and they've got paid programming on at 1 o'clock on Fox. So we get to see, I believe it's the Jets and the Browns on CBS at 1.
Well, that ought to be an entertaining game as well.
Oh, it should be.
You know, I was thinking as we were listening to the lead-in and the nutrition show there, because there's such an emphasis on health and beauty, and we know that the old saying, you are what you eat. Very true, very true. And, you know, the fact that we take everything in through our mouths using those teeth, that's that portal of entry, we call that. You know, just like a break in the skin becomes a portal of entry for infection, so too your mouth is a portal of entry for all the good nutrition that we need to put into our bodies in order to have a healthy life. And the fact is, we need a healthy mouth in order to chew properly, in order to eat a variety of nutrients. That's something that we talk with our senior patients quite a bit about, because as we get older, if there has been tooth loss that has gone untreated, a person's ability to eat properly is affected, but it's also a matter of being able to eat from a variety of foods. You know, you think of, let's sit down a turkey at Thanksgiving dinner. If we can't eat properly, maybe we're passing up on some of the things that create good nutritional value for us, but they're difficult to chew. Maybe we just can eat the mashed potatoes, maybe just the corn, but not so much the turkey, not so much things that are maybe a little bit more textured and more difficult to chew. And there is a place where we know good dental health leads to good systemic health. And that's the focus of this show, not just the fact that we can do things for your smile and make you look great, but by doing so, we're going to put you into a position where you are healthy, where you're able to eat properly, and where, because you're getting a variety of nutritions, your systemic health flourishes rather than flounders.
Ah, that's so. Again, it gets into really also a quality of life issue too, with regards to being able to live a full life, being able to eat what you want to eat, free of any kind of restrictions that really could be somewhat self-imposed.
Absolutely true, and it's a very unfortunate thing, because so many have suffered through maybe a long period of time where they've been partially without teeth, or something that we call edentulous. Now, there's some words we can introduce on the program. Those are some big words. I'm reminded sometimes of what your brother has said about
you're the
obfuscation.
One. You're the one.
Eschew obfuscation. Can't remember what that word is. But basically it means avoid saying things that are hard to figure out. So what is edentulous? Well, if we think of the root of dental, it's dent, and dente is a Latin word meaning tooth. When we have all of our teeth, we're called dentate. When we are missing teeth, we're called edentulous, or without teeth.
Okay.
So patients that have gone part of their lives edentulously, without some of their teeth, will often see collapse of facial structures, which make you look more aged. We'll see teeth drifting and shifting because they're moving out of their normal position without their partners to help hold them in place. I think we talked last week about the arch and how important that is both in architecture and in the mouth. And similarly, in a situation where somebody's missing some of their teeth, they do learn to chew in a slightly different pattern. They have to chew in order to get whatever teeth they do have, get them together in order to chew properly. That often causes function to move out of where it belongs, which is back all the way where the big molars are, back where the joint is. That's where the greatest power is, we'll explain to patients. If you think of, I guess it's a class one lever, if I remember my high school physics properly, a class one lever like a nutcracker. the closer you are to the hinge, the more power you generate. So when you want to crack a hard nut, you put it in very close to that hinge, and that gives you the greatest amount of power. So too, when you look at how the human jaw works, the large molars that are meant for crushing and grinding are placed far back, closest to the joint, which is just in front of your ear, so that you can generate maximum power where the muscles are closing down in their greatest amount of pressure. If you lose those teeth and you're forced to chew more towards the front of the mouth, those teeth really are meant to cut, and then the tongue delivers the food to the back where the molars would crush. But in the absence of the molars, you have to start chewing on front teeth, and in doing so, you can cause some damage to those teeth because their root form really isn't meant to receive that kind of pressure. And a lot of times we'll see people that are just middle-aged, perhaps in their 40s or 50s, and they're suffering some problems with front teeth, and they want to have me correct their front teeth. They come in, they want to have a better smile. We need to get them to understand that it's what's taken place in the back of the mouth that's affecting what they see in the front of the mouth. So in other words, if you don't have those back teeth to stop the closing motion of the jaw and you're chewing on the front teeth, that pressure causes some bone loss and causes damage to the front teeth that needs to have correction first in the back to reestablish the proper function and then in the front to reestablish both function and beauty.
It is 9:06 here on WWKB 1520. Dick Bowerly along with Dr. Robert Yetto, and we do invite your participation in our conversation this morning. And the number is 803-1520. That's 803-1520. And we also invite you, if you are phone shy or radio shy, to send any question that you may have or comment via email to info@rjydds.com. That's info@rjydds.com. Following up with what you just said, would this be appropriate for me to ask you about such things as TMJ? Does that sort of play into the equation that you just...
Absolutely, because one of the other things that happens is with the loss of back teeth and the function towards the front for chewing purposes, we're actually pulling the jaw joint out of its natural position and asking the muscles to function in a fashion that they really don't want to do. And so people that have lost part of their teeth will often develop temporomandibular joint disorder syndrome, or what we commonly refer to as TMJ or TMD. Mm-hmm. You might see that's a really more modern acronym, I guess, for temporomandibular joint problems. And what happens there is we're pulling and straining the ligaments that hold the muscles and the bone in the joint properly, and in doing so, we can create some problems. I see the lights are flashing here, but we don't have a call just yet, so I'll continue on this whole thought. In order to correct that kind of a problem, sometimes we'll need to do something called splint therapy, which is providing, if you will, an artificial landing point for the closure of the jaw so that those teeth that are hitting improperly can be relieved of that pressure while we allow the musculature to relax back into its normal position, which resets the jaw joint, leading to less inflammation in the ligaments and better working of the joint itself in preparation for reestablishing the bite in the back of the mouth with some type of prosthesis, some type of replacement. That could be done with bridge work. It can be done with crowns in a case where there's teeth but they're badly broken down. Or it can be done with implants. And there's some very modern dentistry right there, implants. Patients often will come in and they'll say, well, I've heard or read about implants. Tell me more about what they are. And we'll explain it this way. We're very big on analogies at the Cosmetic Dental Center. It seems to be the way people understand in common terms and things around their common life what we can imply as to how this is a reflection of some of the dental issues that they may have. So when we talk about what an implant is, we say an implant is like putting an artificial screw into the jawbone. And it sounds kind of impressive, but the fact is, it really, from a comfort perspective, isn't much different than having a tooth removed, which, of course, we'd prefer not having to do. However, in cases where a tooth is so badly broken down that we cannot restore it, removal is our best option. Replacing that tooth is always correct because it does maintain function. It maintains that arch that we talked about so that we don't have anything falling down around the missing portion. We put this artificial screw into the bone, They're typically made of titanium, and that's a metal that has been long used in medicine, in orthopedics, for example. If a skier goes down and they have to do something that fixes a broken bone in the leg, for example, they'll use titanium screws or plates or pins in order to hold it together because the body does not recognize titanium as a foreign substance. So there's no inflammation, there's no reaction to it. We use this titanium metal, which is often coated with something that replicates what our bone is made out of. And once that heals into the bone, we have a very strong anchor rigidly attached that we can now put something on that will, in fact, allow us to build a tooth onto that implant, possibly build a bridge onto that implant, or in any number of ways restore what was then missing. I see we have a call here on line four. Let's go to Tony and Clarence. Good morning, Tony.
Yes, I could recall if you remember me last week. I talked about the cracked off tooth that had cracked at the gum line.
Yes, you had a partial denture that we think might have been involved there.
I did get to see the doctors at the Deaconess about this, and they indicated that they wanted to do a root canal on that particular tooth. Can you describe, Dr. Yeddo, what this would what a root canal is?
I'd be happy to do so, Tony, and that's another question that often comes in at the office. And here's the analogy I give. This is when the Roto-Rooter man pays a visit to your mouth. Essentially, if you think of the tooth as having a hollow space inside of it, which normally houses nerves and blood vessels that supply nourishment and feeling to the tooth, when that becomes affected, either because of injury, say a fracture in an accident, or decay, so a bacterial invasion to that nerve space, we can have something called an abscess develop, which is essentially an infection in the jawbone that occurs at the tip of the root of the tooth, deep inside the jawbone. In order to correct that, or in cases maybe like yours, Tony, where we need to be able to anchor something in a restoration, a filling, strongly to the tooth, we're going to do that root canal in order to access the space that once housed the nerve for something called a post, which allows us then a strong anchoring to the tooth structure itself onto which we can rebuild the tooth. So when I talk about the Roto-Rooter man, what we're going to do is we're going to clean that hollow out of anything, any remnants of the nerve and blood vessels, so that we can access that area for some type of a restoration, a posted restoration. What we do is using small instruments that go just into the root of the tooth to its length, remove that affected material, whatever's left inside there, clean it out to a sterile point, and then we fill it with a material that's inert, again, something that the body doesn't recognize as foreign, and that material is called gutta percha. Boy, there's another one of those weird terms. It's actually a natural rubber. And that fills that space in so that no infection can recur. Typically, root canals are about 95-97% effective. There's a small percentage of failures that may occur perhaps at 3, 5 years, 10 years, or longer. Once that root canal is done, by cleaning out that hollow and filling it in with material, now the tooth is going to be comfortable because it no longer has its nerve and it no longer has the infection, so that it remains in the mouth as a strong anchor for whatever treatment may need to take place on it. So in your case, Tony, I think they might be anticipating that in doing a root canal, they can then put a post into the tooth and build a stronger filling for you that won't come out if there's any effect of your partial denture clasp that holds on to that particular tooth. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. But I've had implants done on the bottom teeth, and they hold nicely.
Yes, they do.
Well, could they not also consider doing an implant in that area that is where the root canal has to be done?
Yes, they certainly could, but in many cases, if there is good bone support around the root of that tooth, it may be a better option for the body as well as the pocketbook to maintain the tooth if a proper root canal can be performed so that it can be replaced or restored, rather, in a correct fashion. Taking the tooth out and placing an implant certainly can be done, but it will tend to be a little bit more invasive and certainly would likely be more costly. I think we're up against a break right now, so Tony, we're going to leave you for just a moment. Thank you for calling, and I guess we're going to go to break here.
Is it finally time for a change in your appearance, quality of life, and how you feel about yourself? Then it's time to contact Dr. Robert Yetto at the Cosmetic Dental Center on North Forest at Maple in Amherst. A picture is always worth a thousand words. Visit creatingbeautifulsmiles.com right now to view some of the dramatic before and after examples of Dr. Yetto's expertise. He has been acknowledged by both his patients and his peers for over 27 years as an innovator and educator in the field of cosmetic dentistry. Here's Dr. Yetto.
Hi, this is Dr. Yetto. Aside from the quality of our results, patients always tell me how grateful they are for the time we spend getting to know who they are and understanding their treatment goals and expectations. Our philosophy at the Cosmetic Dental Center has always been to take the time doing the job right the first time.
These are the building blocks upon which Dr. Yetto's highly esteemed reputation has been built. Call 631-0954 today or simply click on the logo in your player now to learn much more about Dr. Robert Yetto and to receive some special offers.
Hey, if you are looking for something different, then you've got to get to Style & Rose in Williamsville, where they offer unique bohemian fashions for women and men. Now, let's clear up something. Bohemian fashions, no, it's not the guy with the short pants wearing that funny little hat with the feathers on it. Bohemian fashions are cool. They are hip. It's the latest in style. And the one place that you can get those is Style & Rose in Williamsville. They feature Blue Sky, Gypsy Rose, local designers, organic fibers, dyes, and they do support fair trade. Also specializing in alterations, they've got over 30 years of experience. Style & Rose is located at 5957 Main Street in Williamsville, right across from Williamsville South High School. Shop Style & Rose. They've been around for a while, and we'll be telling you more about them a little bit later on. And if you go there, I can guarantee they will bring out the hip in you. And you can also check them out on the web at styleandroseonline.com.
I love dogs. I have this terrific dog I got from the SPCA. I named him Santini. The beauty part about Santini is that he is always thrilled to see me. Always. Whenever I walk in the door, he's like, "Hey, it's you. I was hoping it would be you. How you doing?" I mean, I can just walk out of the door to get the mail. And when I walk back in, he's like, "Hey, you're back. Great. Where you been?" Trust me, I don't know anybody else who's ever that happy to see me.
Your independent SPCA of Erie County. It's not funded by the government. It's not supported by tax dollars. But the SPCA is always there when they're needed, whether they're helping a family adopt their first puppy or rescuing pets from a national disaster. To get involved, just go online to yourspca.org. Because when you support your independent SPCA of Erie County, you're supporting more than the pets. You're supporting the people who love them.
Open your heart to the SPCA, because love is a four-legged word.
Hi, I'm Whitney Bocabella, mom of five-year-old twins who were born 6 weeks premature. No one thinks it can happen to them. We never did until we worried that our son and daughter might not survive. The March of Dimes is bringing together friends and families to celebrate all babies, those born healthy and those who need help to survive. Visit marchofdimes.com/everybaby to share stories and connect with families right here in Western New York and across the nation. The March of Dimes funds research and programs that help give every baby a healthy start. Together, we can raise awareness of premature birth and help solve the mystery.
When a storm leaves you without power, the sound of a portable generator can be mighty comforting for you and your family. But with that sound come some important safety precautions you shouldn't forget. Remember, generators create deadly carbon monoxide, so they should only be used outdoors and kept well away from open windows. Also, it's a wise move to install a battery-powered carbon monoxide detector inside your home to be extra sure you're safe. Remember, too, that when positioning your generator outdoors, it's important to allow at least 5 feet of clearance to avoid injury or property damage. And to avoid fires, don't forget to allow the engine to cool before refueling. The National Safety Council reminds you that the best way to weather the storm is to play it safe with your generator. Visit the National Safety Council online at nsc.org.
Recently, the U.S. Navy delivered tons of food to hungry people halfway around the world.
But you could help someone in your own community simply by donating a can of soup.
Last week, a Navy doctor saved the life of a total stranger.
Just like you could, by giving a pint of blood.
Right now, a Navy captain is providing guidance to 5,000 young men and women at sea.
while there's at least one young person in your neighborhood who could use your guidance.
Next month, a team of Navy Seabees will change a child's life by building a school in an impoverished area.
You could do the same simply by volunteering once a week to read at a school right down the street.
The men and women of America's Navy do some amazing things to make the world a better place. So can you. Whether it's by donating food or simply giving time, right in your own backyard. Brought to you by America's Navy.
This is KB, AM 1520.
You are listening to Smile You're Healthy with Dr. Robert Yetto. I'm Dick Bowerly sitting in. I'm the your Sunday morning Ed McMahon, if you will.
My sidekick.
That's it. Should I go every like 5 minutes?
You are correct, sir.
Very good. See, we're really showing our age on that. The number to involve yourself with our conversation is 803-1520. That's 803-1520. And as we like to do, we talk a lot, and Dr. Yetto answers a lot of questions, brings up a lot of great topics. We talk about cosmetic issues. We talk about health issues. What I really invite you to do, and again, I'm not trying to make this sound like an infomercial, but this is something that you really need to do. Go to creatingbeautifulsmiles.com, and there are just some absolutely dramatic before and after patient photos that if you may look at some of these photos and you might say, wow, that's me and I could look like that. I mean, and again, we talked last week in our initial show that, yeah, part of it can be cosmetically inspired. But really, if there's a serious cosmetic issue, chances are there's probably some type of a serious health, quality of life issue also involved. And with that, I guess I've probably talked enough because it's you're the big voice guy says your name, not mine. So,
you know, Dick, there's one other thing I wanted to follow up on Tony's question regarding the root canal. After the root canal has been performed, we'll usually want to give it a very short time just to make sure everything's okay, make sure everything's comfortable and the infection is cleared and all of that. But then the tooth should really be rebuilt in a relatively short period of time. At the dental school, we teach our student dentists that in about 2 weeks or less, that tooth should be rebuilt. And there's a couple of reasons. Number one, we don't want to leave that gutta percha material, that natural rubber that fills the space. We don't want to leave that in the oral environment where bacteria that are normal and healthy for digestion, which starts in the mouth in our saliva, to get trapped inside the tooth once again, because in that position, in that place, they can be harmful. So we want to have that upper portion, the visible part of the tooth, sealed off with a definitive restoration within about 2 weeks of doing the root canal. But the second reason why it's important to have that follow-up treatment in a timely fashion is something that we hear many, many times over the years when you're practiced in dentistry for even 5 years or more. You'll have a patient that comes in, and you'll diagnose a problem that is going to require root canal therapy. And you might have a patient that says, but gee, doctor, I don't want to do a root canal. And you ask, why not? And they say, well, I had one before, and it didn't work. And I'll say, well, why didn't that work? And they'll tell me, well, they did the root canal, and then about 3 years later, the tooth broke, and I lost it anyway. And typically, we'll find that it was not the root canal that failed, but the way the tooth was rebuilt or not rebuilt after the root canal was done. One of the things that we mentioned is in that nerve space is a blood supply. A normal healthy tooth receives that blood supply, and that keeps the tooth vital or alive, which allows it to flex slightly under a functioning load. If it were a hard situation, we would expect that over time the tooth may snap. So there's all these mechanisms that the body has, the periodontal ligament that provides a little cushioning effect, the fact that the tooth is vital and can actually flex a little bit without damage. But after the root canal, because there's no longer a blood supply, the tooth can be more brittle than it would have been in a natural condition. So we want to have it restored properly to prevent it from breaking. Very often, patients that feel they've had root canals that have failed have had perfectly successful root canal therapy, but they just haven't had the tooth rebuilt strong enough to withstand function over time. So those things are always necessary after the root canal. A proper restoration in order to keep the tooth strong and healthy, done so in a timely fashion.
So in layman's terms, what you're essentially saying is that if a root canal needs to be performed, you really want to sort of make that preparation occur during a time when the tooth still has some of its residual original strength, and that if too long a period of time goes by, well, that tooth is going to lose some of that, which means that any structures that you put on top of it, it may not have as firm a foundation as what it would have.
Yeah, and here's the real kick in the teeth, no pun intended. That tooth that doesn't get restored properly, and perhaps a year or two's gone by after the root canal, but the filling hasn't really been done well or strong enough or what have you, additional decay could occur in the tooth and you won't know it, because now there's no nerve in the tooth to say ouch to your brain and have you come into the office to seek out treatment. So a second or a third reason, actually, to have that tooth restored properly, and actually we'll go even one step beyond. After you've had root canal therapy and the tooth has been restored properly and it's strong and functional and healthy, it's important that your dentist see you regularly enough to examine and check to be sure that the tooth is remaining healthy, because again, without that nerve inside, if something were to develop, you won't know it until one day it just snaps right off. And that's because decay has been occurring in a tooth that can't tell you again, ouch, I need to go see the dentist.
Wow, this is serious stuff. I mean, it really is.
Yes, because, you know, when we talk about root canal therapy, except in a case maybe like Tony's where it might be electively done in order to restore the tooth strongly, we're talking about a process that's related to an infection. And just like an infection anywhere in the body, you don't want to let it fester. You don't want to let it go. You don't want to ignore it. It doesn't go away. It doesn't get better. It doesn't get healthy on its own. If it isn't taken care of, it can have dire systemic effects, because now we're talking about an active infection in the bone that causes destruction of the bone, can drain into the mouth, swallowed into the gastrointestinal system, create flu-like symptoms, maybe have a systemic effect. If you're diabetic, you know that you have healing problems because of the effects of diabetes on the body. So we certainly don't want to let that go untreated in a patient who's not in optimum health. But even for somebody who is in optimum health, we don't want to let that infected tooth become a source of trouble for the body as a whole.
9:27, you are listening to Smile You're Healthy with Dr. Robert Yetto. I'm Dick Bowerly, and again, we're having a very in-depth conversation about your health, improving the quality of your life, and again, we do invite your question. We are live, we are local, I want to stress that, and we are here to really help you live better.
Do you know what else is live and local and helps you?
What's that?
Buffalo Web Hosting.
Ah!
Now, that's the company that I use to host my website. And as we were talking about last week, we all like to support the local economy. You know that whole bit about dealing with global warming on a local level. You know, think globally, act locally. Well, if you hire a local company, you're keeping revenues within Western New York, but you're also getting a live person who has English as their primary language. That's also important.
What a concept.
Because not only do you get somebody live answering the phone right here in Western New York, they know the language. You don't have to hunt and search and peck and go through a phone menu that eventually connects you overseas somewhere, where all, you know, aspersions aside, as far as anybody's ability to speak the language, you're going to have delays in what you need taken care of. You may have some communication difficulties back and forth. By using a local company, we're keeping revenues in Western New York. You're working with somebody who can deal with your problems on an immediate basis, and they do a great job designing and hosting my website.
Well, and I'll tell you, and in this day and age where computers are such an integral part of our daily lives, our business operations, our social operations, when our systems, unfortunately, from time to time, if they do go down, we need immediate, quick resolution to those problems, and you can't get them resolved any quicker than by dealing with somebody who is an expert and who is also local.
Absolutely true. And you know, when you were saying that, it had me thinking of something, but I see we've got a call. I think we're up against another break. Maybe we'll do that, take the call after the break.
Sounds like a plan.
Is it finally time for a change in your appearance, quality of life, and how you feel about yourself? Then it's time to contact Dr. Robert Yetto at the Cosmetic Dental Center on North Forest at Maple in Amherst. A picture is always worth a thousand words. Visit creatingbeautifulsmiles.com right now to view some of the dramatic before and after examples of Dr. Yetto's expertise. He has been acknowledged by both his patients and his peers for over 27 years as an innovator and educator in the field of cosmetic dentistry. Here's Dr. Yetto.
Hi, this is Dr. Yetto. Aside from the quality of our results, patients always tell me how grateful they are for the time we spend getting to know who they are and understanding their treatment goals and expectations. Our philosophy at the Cosmetic Dental Center has always been to take the time doing the job right the first time.
These are the building blocks upon which Dr. Yetto's highly esteemed reputation has been built. Call 631-0954 today or simply click on the logo in your player now to learn much more about Dr. Robert Yetto and to receive some special offers.
Hey, I want to tell you about something that's really, we were talking a minute ago about live and local. I want to talk about something really cool that's coming up December 4th as part of the Williamsville Business Association season in the Village. That's when Style and Rose Clothing is going to kick off a grand opening week. Now, don't be confused. They're open now, but they thought that they would have like an additional grand opening celebration as part of the Williamsville Business Association Seasons in the Village, which is always an awesome event. It doesn't get any more festive than that during the holiday season. This takes place annually. And again, it's on. It's right in the heart of the village on December 4th, and you can enjoy walks. There's open house. There's free horse-drawn hay rides, photos with Santa, anything that you need to kind of really get into the festive holiday mood. That's Style and Rose, which is located at 5957 Main Street in Williamsville, which is right across from Williamsville South High School. Go to willville.com, and you can, in addition to all that good stuff, you can get an additional 15% off coupon, and it's good during that entire week of December 4th. So make sure you get out there. And again, we had a little bit of fun with the Bohemian fashions, but I'm telling you, you know, they say clothes make the man, which is why I really should probably get myself over there, because my stage wardrobe doctor could really use a serious update.
I'm NASCAR driver Bobby Labonte. At 200 miles per hour, many unseen dangers can arise in the blink of an eye. That's why we have spotters high above the track. They help drivers avoid trouble. Parents need to play the same role when it comes to kids and computers. As a parent, I know the internet can take kids to wonderful sites for learning, entertainment, and fun, but it can also lead to danger. Here are some safety tips. Keep the computer in a family area where you can see it. Proactively teach your children never to share personal information online. Become knowledgeable about signing onto websites, searching for information, and using email and instant messaging. Doing so will help you recognize potential dangers. Familiarize yourself with safer websites and post that list by your computer. Like our spotters, parents are best positioned to see the dangers kids could face online and to help them avoid them. Make a commitment to keeping kids safe online.
A message from WebWise Kids and Ask.com.
When it comes to news,
President Obama speaks out.
Let's go live.
Latest news from Wall Street now.
We're following new developments.
Only one source delivers.
Breaking news from CNN Radio.
The most trusted name in news.
This is CNN Radio.
CNN Radio live at the top of each hour. On a new voice, a new choice. 50,000 watt AM, 1520.
When I go on my walks, I'm not alone. I've got a traveling companion right here in my pregnant belly. We see all kinds of things together. Well, he doesn't see them, but I think somehow he experiences them. I want him to come out and see all the great things this world has to offer. But I really just want him to be healthy. So I'm walking. And I'm not the only one walking for my baby. Lots of people are. By joining in the March for Babies. Well, they're walking for all babies, really. Pretty cool. So on our walks, it's just me and him and a few million other people who care about babies. Pretty peaceful, considering.
One day, all babies will be born healthy, but we'll have to walk to get there. Join the March of Dimes March for Babies. Together, we can give every baby a healthy start. Visit marchforbabies.org today to sign up.
A new voice, a new choice, AM 1520.
Welcome back to Smile, You're Healthy. I'm Dr. Bob Yetto. We've got a call from Najir in Buffalo. Good morning, Najir.
Hi.
first-time listener and first-time caller.
Well, thank you very much.
I wanted to make a statement about how does one go about finding affordable dental care, and because a lot of times if you're low income, the one alternative that can be paid for through, like, say, income guidelines by something like, say, Medicaid is they're willing to extract teeth,
mm-hmm.
And rather than repair them. And what you see in a lot of situations, a lot of people think getting false teeth is the answer, and a lot of times you'll find people who won't wear their teeth because they don't realize there's a lot of maintenance as far as the relining mm-hmm. and adjustment constantly as long as you wear dentures. And because they thought that would solve the problem, they just, when they get them and they find they're having problems, they won't wear them. But outside of the University of Buffalo, is there any way someone on a limited income can get some good dental care as far as, you know, like, say, root canals, crown work, that kind of thing, dental bridges and that kind of thing done?
As you point out, Najir, the University at Buffalo's Dental School does accept Medicaid patients, and there are patient advocates that can help make financing happen for you at a reduced rate based on the fact that you're working with dental students. So that certainly is a good option. I know the local dental society, the 8th District Dental Society, has an arm called the St. Apollonia Guild, which also does offer some remedial work for patients in low-income situations, so that could help as well. Call the 8th District Dental Society. You should be able to find that phone number in the phone book or online, since I know phone books aren't so much in vogue anymore. There are a number of offices in the private sector that also do accept Medicaid. And that could also be a potential place for you to seek out treatment. But what you do point out as far as dentures is very true. Just because somebody does have dentures does not mean they no longer need the dentist. And that's true whether they're full dentures that replace all of the missing teeth or partial dentures in a case where you have some of your natural teeth and a partial denture, such as our earlier caller, Tony. Once you've had that denture made, over time, as you function with it, the fact that that plastic portion over the bony area of the mouth functions and moves causes change to the contour of the bony areas, and periodically the denture does need to be relined, as Najir had pointed out. That relining adds material to make up the space that's occurred over time in function and keeps the denture fitting properly so that it's comfortable, so that it functions properly, so that it looks correctly, and mostly, again, to keep it comfortable so that patients are compliant. That's one of the biggest reasons why a lot of patients opt to go to implants instead of dentures. Now, in the Medicaid plan, that's not something that they will typically allow. There are some particular parameters that need to be met in order to receive certain types of dentistry under the Medicaid plan, as I'm familiar from working at the dental school. But implants can be a great way to replace those teeth so that you don't need to worry about denture adjustments or relines in the future. I hope that helps.
Thank you.
All right, so the question might be then, or I should say the answer would be to, is there a general number that's accessible for the UB Dental School where someone could call and get further information about some of the you know, I'd hate to call them discount plans, but say the reduced cost plans for people that are of low income?
Yes, you would want to call the State University of New York at Buffalo School of Dental Medicine, and you're likely going to be directed to the admissions department. They're going to do a screening, and they'll take one large x-ray of all the jaw and all the teeth. They'll have a student dentist under the guidance of a licensed dentist evaluate what your needs are going to be, and they'll channel you into the undergraduate program if your needs are within the abilities of a student dentist, or they will direct you into one of the postgraduate programs where we have dentists or students that have become licensed dentists who are now specializing in one of the areas that we have specialties in dentistry for needs that may go a little bit beyond those of a student dentist.
It's 9:40 here on a wonderful Sunday morning. You're listening to Smile, You're Healthy with Dr. Robert Edel from the Cosmetic Dental Center. And we've really been diving. You know, today's theme kind of has evolved into a lifestyle, which we had set out to do really from the beginning. I mean, this is a quality of lifestyle topic this morning. And I had a couple of follow-up questions. I think in the first segment, you were talking about how when teeth are missing, there are certain changes that occur in the mouth, and teeth can kind of move around. There's all kinds of adjustments that go on, which I was thinking for the last little bit. We did talk a little bit about TMJ, but I wonder, is there a correlation between, you know, this imbalance or potential imbalance that can occur with missing teeth that could result in some we would maybe call sleep apnea? It would exhibit maybe some of those symptoms and or grinding one's teeth at night. Some people do grind their teeth. Is that kind of the body's subconscious way of trying to make some of these adjustments?
Yes, in fact, and those are two things that are very big in dentistry and medicine today. Number one, bruxism, or the grinding of teeth, and number two, sleep apnea. So let's tackle them individually. When we have this loss of some of the back teeth and the force of function towards the front, as we were saying earlier, that's an imbalanced muscle situation. Well, the subconscious mind knows that those muscles aren't working where they want to be. So a lot of times in the subconscious hours of sleep, and sometimes when you're just sitting on the 33 in traffic, you'll begin to clench and grind your teeth. Typically, this is because the body recognizes the imbalance in the positions of the teeth, presuming now tooth loss has been over a period of time, allowing movement of the teeth, drifting of those blocks in the arch, as we were talking about. Now they're no longer hitting their opposing teeth properly, and there's an interference. Well, subconsciously, you are grinding or clenching and bruxing or grinding to try and wear away that spot that's not allowing you to close properly. But just as I say, you take two diamonds and rub them against each other, neither one wears out relative to the other, so the positions stay the same. Similarly, if you're grinding your teeth tooth against tooth, they wear at a similar rate, nothing really changes in the relationship, and we perpetuate this clenching and grinding habit. Now, we mentioned earlier splint therapy to try and get the joint alignment proper. That's often used for patients that clench or brux their teeth overnight. And that's a soft guard, almost like an athletic mouth guard, that fits over the teeth so that there's a cushioning effect when you're closing and making this grinding motion. Ideally, however, you present to your dentist recognizes that you're suffering from the general topic of occlusal disease, and makes adjustment in an accelerated way to eliminate the interference and put the teeth back into a balanced and harmonious position. However, if we don't also replace the missing teeth over time, drifting will continue to occur, and we'll be right back at the same problem of clenching and grinding to try and get rid of interferences. Now, the second point that you make, Dick, on sleep apnea. Certainly, we know there's a certain patient who may be more inclined to have sleep apnea. They tend to be men that have rather large necks and beefy jowls. So perhaps you haven't done all your running over the summer. You put on a little bit of weight over the summer. Now we're coming into the holiday season and we're all going to overeat. And between Thanksgiving and New Year's, probably put on another 5 or 10 pounds. Patients that have restrictions in their airway because of heavy muscles or thick neck muscles, as I was saying, or jowls, if you will, when they recline and you're laying down in bed, the airway is becoming constricted and closes down. The soft palate closes in the back of the throat, and it interrupts your breathing pattern, and you can go through periods of time during sleep where you may not breathe for as much as 2 or 3 straight minutes. Now, consciously, you wouldn't be able to hold your breath that long. But subconsciously, this can happen during sleep, and it certainly affects the quality of sleep, but it can also be a danger to survival. You could essentially die in your sleep because of this. When you've lost back teeth and we collapse what dentists call vertical dimension, or if you think of when you close your teeth together, if you just thought of vertical dimension as the distance between the tip of your nose and the tip of your chin, when you lose the back teeth and we no longer have those stops to close down on, you overclose. The chin is getting too close to the nose. As that happens, the tissues in the back of the throat can collapse even easier, even in patients who aren't overweight. And in doing so, we initiate sleep apnea problems. So certainly another reason why restoring what goes missing is always a good idea.
Well, we've only got one more. Where does the time go when we get together and do this every week?
I am surprised it's going so fast this morning.
Very, very quick. And again, we want to remind people that the number to get on board is 803-1520. Or if you have a question or if you have a comment, please feel free to email Dr. Yetto at info@rjyDDS.com. That was the dramatic pause. That was the radio tease, but thank you for...
Well, you looked at me and pointed, Dick. I thought you forgot.
Anyways, it is 9:45, and we do welcome your participation, and we'll be back with more after this very, very short pause.
Is it finally time for a change in your appearance, quality of life, and how you feel about yourself? Then it's time to contact Dr. Robert Yetto at the Cosmetic Dental Center on North Forest at Maple in Amherst. A picture is always worth a thousand words. Visit Creating Beautiful Smiles .com right now to view some of the dramatic before and after examples of Dr. Yetto's expertise. He has been acknowledged by both his patients and his peers for over 27 years as an innovator and educator in the field of cosmetic dentistry. Here's Dr. Yetto.
Hi, this is Dr. Yetto. Aside from the quality of our results, patients always tell me how grateful they are for the time we spend getting to know who they are and understanding their treatment goals and expectations. Our philosophy at the Cosmetic Dental Center has always been to take the time doing the job right the first time.
These are the building blocks upon which Dr. Yetto's highly esteemed reputation has been built. Call 631-0954 today or simply click on the logo in your player now to learn much more about Dr. Robert Yetto and to receive some special offers.
We were talking a short time ago about being live and local, et cetera, and so forth. We were also talking about what a technologically advanced society we are, and no better place will illustrate that than if you go to creatingbeautifulsmiles.com, which is a tremendous website, and that website was also designed and implemented and hosted by Buffalo Web Services. And if you have a business or you're thinking on getting a business going and you know that you need some really, really good web stuff taken care of, then you got to contact the guys at Buffalo Web Services. And the really cool part is that they are local. They know what they're doing. They know our area. They can come up with implementations that are not only appropriate for local business, but also on a national business level. And in the odd event that something goes awry, because they are right here in town, they have an excellent command of the Buffalo language. So they will be able to communicate with you quickly and earnestly in a way that you can both relate to. So that's Buffalo Web Services. They do a fantastic job. And if you don't believe me, again, just take a few minutes today before the Bills play. Go out to creatingbeautifulsmiles.com, and you'll learn a lot more about Dr. Yetto. You'll see some examples of his work, and you'll see what a tremendous, tremendous job Buffalo Web Services did on this website.
For the latest news and personality profiles, visit us online at kb1520.com. Stay connected with all of your favorite hosts, including interviews and special features. kb1520.com is your source for up-to-the-minute national and business news from CNN. Have an opinion? Let your voice be heard in our exclusive kb1520.com web poll. All that and more can be found on kb1520.com. A new voice, a new choice. AM 1520.
McGruff the Crime Dog here. Let's hear from an identity thief.
Identities are easy to catch online. I send people an official-looking email pretending to be their bank or credit card company and ask them to confirm their personal information. Books them every time.
Safeguard your personal information on the phone, online, and especially at home, because half of identity theft occurs by someone you think you know. Keep your identity to yourself and take a bite out of crime. Learn more from the National Crime Prevention Council at ncpc.org.
A message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the National Crime Prevention Council.
So I get a call here at the SPCA from a woman frantically driving on the Skyway telling me there's a kitty up on the divider. Hi, I'm Gina from the SPCA. This woman was in an absolute panic asking us to help this cat. The whole time I thought, you've got to be kidding me, but if anybody could rescue that cat, it's our rescue team. We dispatched the team, and do you know they rescued that cat? He was adopted, living happily in Tonawanda, named Skyway, which we thought was perfect.
Your independent SPCA of Erie County. It's not funded by the government. It's not supported by tax dollars.
But the SPCA is always there when they're needed, whether they're helping a family adopt their first puppy or rescuing pets from a national disaster. To get involved, just go online to yourspca.org. Because when you support your independent SPCA of Erie County, you're supporting more than the pets. You're supporting the people who love them.
Open your heart to the SPCA, because love is a four-legged word.
AM 1520.
You know, Dick, you were mentioning there about Buffalo Web Services being local guys, and they know what Buffalo language. That must mean they know what beef on weck is.
And they probably know the anchor bar, too.
Probably, but I know outside of Western New York, nobody seems to know what a Kimmelweck roll is. So at Buffalo Web Services, they know Kimmelweck.
There you go. So there's a whole variety of things they can relate to you on, both technically and socially.
And they can probably feel your pain if the Bills don't win today.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the other things that I hear you mentioning over there that I thought I'd touch upon, kind of in a non-dental way, although there is a tie-in, this whole explosion of technology in our lives. I can remember back maybe 10 years ago hearing somebody complaining about how, gee, computers were supposed to make our lives so much easier and give us spare time and free things up for us. And they said, isn't it faster to just pull a checkbook out and write a check instead of going to your computer, entering it into your program, and then printing it out? And now we got smartphones on our belts. So we're kind of putting another layer of technology in the way of free time because, you know, all of the social people out there complain about how you can't be sitting at the dinner table and texting or tweeting or doing whatever you're doing on your cell phones. You sit in the restaurant and you see people all over the place with their cell phones out instead of talking with their dining companion. Janice Oaken must be going crazy.
Absolutely. Well, we do the same thing on our breaks. The famous Hall of Fame Joyride Band, and we sit there with our smartphone, and a lot of times we go online. So every year we do a big benefit at the casino in the Falls, and we always play with a national act. So we found out the other night who our national act is this year. In the past, we worked with the Four Tops, and we did a bunch of disco stuff, and this year we are performing with the Spinners. So, of course, we went online. We wanted to see how many of them were original. The Four Tops, there was only one guy, so I was having a tendency to call them the One Top. You know, hey, I got to tell you, this happened to me again this week, and we've been talking all morning about missing teeth and stuff like that. Guess what happened to me again, being the history guy that I am? It was time to clean off the DVR, right?
Okay.
So I stumble across a documentary that I had taped where they had discovered, I believe the number was about 5,000 of Napoleon soldiers who in the retreat from Waterloo landed at this little town, I think it was in Poland someplace, and again, they were building a parking lot, and what did they uncover? 3,000 to 5,000 Napoleonic bodies that they didn't even know were there, of course, until they started digging. And the reason I bring this up, when you looked at the components of what was left of these individuals, well, yeah, there were bones, of course, but lots and lots of teeth. And they did some age dating of carbon dating or whatever, and then they brought in forensic people to say, well, how old were these people? And a lot of these people were like, you know, these young guys were like between 17 years old, 25 years old, and guess what? Most of them had horrific teeth. The teeth were missing.
That's really surprising. That's a shame. I bet there were a few brass buttons that they found there, too.
Well, I tell you, and again, we're supposed to be talking about teeth, but you'll find this enjoyable. What really was totally fascinating to me was they found a piece of rubber that was all crumpled up, and then they found this other piece of red something. They didn't know what it was, and they have some kind of miracle restorative fluid now that they can put these things in. Well, that little clump of rubber turned out to be a shoe, and when it was restored, it was absolutely pristine, and when they put this little crumpled up red thing into the fluid and let it sit for a couple of weeks, lo and behold, it was the whole front patch of a Napoleonic uniform complete with buttons.
But you say they were missing a lot of their teeth.
I mean, and again, these are the estimated age. A lot of the guys were 17, 18 years old. And I mean, and they even mentioned it on the show. They just said, boy, you know, look at the, you know, obviously that must not have been a high priority in the Napoleon's army, taking care of your teeth.
And, you know, here's another interesting tie-in from a historical to a modern sort of bridge, if you will. When, up until maybe the 1950s, 1960s, there was not any root canal therapy done. It just wasn't a known modality of treatment. And so what's happened now is people that are maybe in their 70s and 80s may have lost a number of teeth when they were younger, perhaps by the age of 20 or 30, because at that time, root canal therapy wasn't offered, and the choice was to take the tooth out because of the infection. Unfortunately, if those teeth weren't replaced, they have all the collapse issues and the functional issues and things that we've been talking about this morning. But now that we have got that way of maintaining the teeth, those Napoleonic soldiers probably would have had more of their teeth to uncover when the parking lot was being built if they were in today's world rather than back in the 18th century.
And they probably still could not have conquered Moscow in the winter, even with good teeth.
Probably not.
My money's on that, by the way.
I should think so.
It is 9:55. You're listening to Creating Beautiful Smiles. I would be remiss not to do this also. If you do, again, we talked about the email address. I'll give it one last time. It's info@rjydds.com. Or better yet, if you do have any questions, please feel free to call the practice. It's right over on North Forest.
You know, one of the calls, or one of the emails rather, that came in over the week from last week's show had to do with the concept, or what we call mini implants. And we've been talking a little bit about implants. One of our callers today asked a few questions about having had some teeth restored with implants. But we'll often be asked, well, doctor, what is this mini implant? And a mini implant is actually something that has been around for a little bit of time now. It's a smaller version of a standard-sized implant. Now, a standard-sized implant can be a little bit larger in diameter if it's replacing a back tooth, a little bit smaller in diameter if it's replacing a front tooth. A mini implant is smaller yet. Mini implants were first introduced in dentistry as an easy way to anchor full dentures into the mouth so that they wouldn't move around as much. And if any of our callers, our listeners know, if they have a full denture, especially on the lower teeth, it can tend to move around because the tongue's down there moving, and it's just a horseshoe shape, unlike the top, where it can cover the whole roof of the mouth and create some suction. So mini implants were first introduced as a means of anchoring that floating lower denture to something rigidly attached to the bone so that it doesn't move around so much. In today's world, sometimes mini implants are used to actually replace a single tooth or to hold a bridge in place. And we're always a little bit leery about seeing that approach simply because, number one, they're a much smaller diameter. Think of the difference between, say, a pencil's diameter and a pin's diameter. And certainly if we had something sitting on that pencil, it might be seen as being stronger than if it's the same thing sitting on a pin. So we know there's places that mini implants can be used and places where we really prefer they're not used.
Well, I don't know where the time has gone. This has been just another great hour. We will be back again next Sunday at 9 o'clock. So please get your questions ready because we look forward to really trying to help you. We want you to feel better about yourself. And as Doctor pointed out earlier in the show, the holidays are coming.
The holidays are coming, and you want to have a bright smile for the holidays. So give us a call.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of Smile, You're Healthy, sponsored by the Cosmetic Dental Center in Amherst. Join Dr. Robert Yetto again next Sunday at 9 to hear more interesting information about your dental health. And remember, get your questions ready.